Chad, did you have a chance to see any of the Democrat National Convention tonight?
I didn't get to see any, but I did. I saw some quotes on the Twitter and the Facebook. Sounded like the usual lies and deceit and chicanery.
Yeah, unfortunately, there was no Scott Baio tonight, so it's a little bit of a downer. Kind of once I realized that there was no, D-level celebrities on just A-listers, it made it seem like it was going to be serious and not too much fun.
I heard they also had like an illegal alien speak, is that, or up on stage. Was
I
that
don't
true?
know. I didn't see all of it. I saw bits and pieces.
They had some weird stuff going on. They had some weird stuff going on. It's like a whole different thing. What I love the most is that each side thinks the other side has like the is doing it wrong, and they're both just so weird.
They are. I think they have a tendency to appeal to the fringes, as opposed to being a little bit more to the middle, and has a tendency to feel like, who are they talking to?
Not me.
Not me. Okay, so that's enough politics. I think we can
Well,
give up
once
on.
again, John, like
There's
last
never.
week, it's never enough
Never enough.
politics or Kardashians.
Well, and I believe that we'll live up to that theme a little bit later.
Baseball, politics, and Kardashians with John and Jed. This is foul territory.
There we go. I'm at John Sumple. He's at Jed Rigney, and we're about to kick off our. This is actually I have to. There's been a faux pas in my ability to count from 1 to 10, because apparently I said last week and probably the previous weeks that this was the 7th, 8th, 9th, and last week was the 10th. When in reality, this week is the 10th. So this is our 10th podcast anniversary.
Yes, John Sumple, great with words,
Not
not
so
so
good.
great with the numbers.
Yeah, maybe it's because I only have 9 fingers, on my 2 hands combined, so we'll figure that out as we
Oh,
go.
I'm so
I'm
sorry
kidding.
to hear that, man.
No, I do. I have 10.
Okay.
Oh, no, I do have 10. I
Oh,
just couldn't count.
fantastic.
I couldn't count. I thought it was not.
Oh, look at that.
know.
That's a
Okay, but we
tasty
do.
little
Let's
riddle.
move on to something that's probably going to be a lot more fun than the number of fingers that I have, and that's our new sponsor for this week.
Our new sponsor is a little bit of a twist. This is a PSA,
Oh, good.
and it's a PSA about baseball trade rumors. Here we go. Hey, listeners, it's that time of year again when we speculate, pontificate, and deliberate about what players should be traded from what teams and for what price. Sure, it's an exciting time to be alive for some. We get to watch as baseball players are reduced to commodities when fans and journalists discuss relocating human being baseball players in a way that would be agonizing for anyone else anywhere on the planet. So next time you hear a trade rumor about Joe Pitcher being traded for Joe Batter, just remember, they are both Joe people. This message brought to you by the Coalition to remind everyone that we are all living people. Creewalp.
Okay, now that is a very important PSA, because can you imagine if you went to work one morning, Joe Lunchpail goes into work and he gets told that he's been traded to another corporation,
Or worse, maybe traded.
right? And the rumors are flying around that
Yeah.
he's yeah he's and everybody's talking about it, and the pressure's on, and he even has the media calling him up saying, Mr. Lunchpail, do you believe that there's a chance that you might get traded to XYZ Corporation by the deadline?
Yeah, and then someone's like, well, wait a minute, I don't want Joe Lunchpail to be traded. He's on my fantasy Lunchpail team.
It's like it's gonna kill me if you move him to that team. He's gonna move into the number two slot. I had him as the ace. It's gonna screw me up. He's gonna do less riveting than he would have in his
Is that
current
what Joe
position.
Lunchpail does? He does
I was,
riveting? Have we
I think
decided
I was
that?
thinking riveting.
All
Riveting,
right.
digging
All right.
holes. I don't know. He could be anywhere from, a blue collar worker to a or EJ, like a neurosurgeon at a hospital.
Yeah, he could be like some mentally deficient neurosurgeon who decides he needs to bring his own, not deficient. What's the word I'm looking for? ADD or something,
Right,
right? Like
right.
He's like, I got to bring my own lunch in. That's not mentally. I don't mean to say ADD is mentally deficient, blah, 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 disclaimers. I came up with the wrong word. I'm sorry.
But you can also get off the hook every single time because you are a humorist.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Remember?
That was humor.
Right. So we can get away with things like.
Listener, the reason why you're laughing so much right now is because of the humor that I am presenting.
I can hear him clapping.
That's the worst kind.
Okay, so let's jump into the headlines. We have some of the pre, I don't even say pre, because the pre's been going on now for a month and a half, the trade deadline approaching on August 1st. And we've got a lot of rumors in the rumor well, and probably the first major trade happened today.
Well, second. I mean, Drew Pomeranz is a pretty significant trade last week to the Red Sox. But yes.
I would put him in the B-list category compared to Chapman.
Well, compared to Chapman, yes. But in terms of like what is going to move, you're not going to get any pitchers better than Pomeranz moving.
Well, after one of our subjects we'll be talking about in a few minutes, he may have just snipped his way out of Chicago.
Oh, John. Let's move ahead. What do we got? Chapman traded.
That happened today. Rumors started flying last night that a deal was pending, and then this morning when I got up, I heard that it had been confirmed by seven different sports writers that it was going to happen today. And first it was three players, and it wound up being four.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a good trade for the Yankees, too, because it's shocking that the Yankees are actually building their farm system and looking for prospects. That just is not part of the Yankee way.
Well, this is a whole weird thing, right? Because they traded for Chapman, and then he had the suspension. And then they traded almost nothing, right? Because remember, Chapman was almost traded to the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And then all the media, like, lost their minds. Like, how dare you? You must cancel this trade, Dodgers. And the Dodgers are like, all right, media, fine. We don't want to have to deal with this problem. And
the
then
Yankees, they parlayed it into a pretty
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, they turned two junky players that they dumped on the Reds into a very good shortstop prospect.
Yeah, young, 19, and definitely a future pinstripe.
Yeah.
I guess they're talking about him possibly being at third base, and that's where he could be developed.
Well, also they have Jorge Mateo, who's a very good shortstop as well. So it's they're getting loaded up there. But yeah, it's a great move by the very savvy move. It's just it's a little funny when it was like everyone's all outraged about the Dodgers, and now everyone's just throwing Aroldis Chapman around the league, and no one cares. But Chapman should be on the Dodgers right now, from all season, and dominating the league as a Dodger. But I'm not bitter. I just hate to see the Yankees getting away with this crime that they have committed. Not really.
That's the legal system again.
Don't get me started about the legal system, John. You know how I feel. Anyway, yeah, so it's exciting times. Rumors are always fun. Not all rumors are fun for everyone, of course, as we mentioned in our PSA.
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole thing with Chris Sale over the weekend, the rumors mill started.
That's coming up.
No, I was going to do that next.
Oh, you're going to go into that
segue. Right?
Oh, okay, you're segging.
So when the word first got out that he was being pulled from his start, the immediate response was he's being traded.
Yes.
And then within an hour or two, the word came out that he went batshit crazy and started cutting up uniforms.
Well, yeah, and in between, he was sent home because of a nonviolent confrontation.
Right, and at first it was kind of like, was it a fight? And they said it was not a physical altercation.
Right.
It was a clothing alteration.
Yeah, he doesn't like the clothes. It's all very sartorial. Am I right?
Yes, it is.
Am I right? People with big vocabularies, sartorial. like having to do with Taylor stuff for those of
and
you.
And he was
smaller brands.
Apparently not the only one, but he was the vocal one, and he stood up for his teammates, and his whole thing was about, enough about trying to sell more uniforms and making money for the team. Winning is more important, and apparently the clothing that he wears out on the mound plays a big factor in his performance.
Yeah, I mean, I've always looked at those throwback uniforms and thought like, oh, wow, funny that they would just wear completely different clothes. And, these guys are like finely tuned machines, and you can't just change the clothes you're wearing. Here, wear an undershirt. Here, wear, a heavy wool uniform, wear a garter, you know.
Although some probably wear those underneath.
It's a it's garter night at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, you get your pinstripe garter. So, but there now there's word that Sale did this, rumors I'm sure, but that he did this intentionally to accelerate the possibility of him being traded by the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the guys who was upset about the LaRoche situation, the LaRoche incident where Drake LaRoche Minor was not allowed in the clubhouse anymore. And whatever, like, he's a great pitcher. He's having a really good year, but not a great year. But in terms of American League pitchers, he's probably the best pitcher in the American League, sort of. And, you know, the White Sox are a sinking ship again. They had a nice start, but they're poorly managed and they don't really have that good a team. You know, they should trade off some of those pieces. My concern with this trade thing is if what the Cubs gave up for Chapman is sort of the going rate, like, I can't even imagine what a team would have to give up for Chris Sale.
They're asking for five prospects.
Like, I would just imagine it's like everybody. So you're talking, who could do that? The Cubs could do that, though probably they don't want to anymore. The Red Sox.
And the Rangers.
And I don't think there's the Dodgers. The Dodgers could
do that. Well, another name that has kind of come into play has been the Braves. And the Braves have a bunch of young prospects and saying that they, if they're interested in flipping for somebody that could give them, give their fans a reason to get somewhat excited going into their new ballpark next year, that you know, it would make sense for them to, you know.
I mean, yeah, if the White Sox want to be vindictive, they could trade him to the Braves. Mm-hmm. But that's not going to happen. First of all, the Braves have a lot of prospects, but they don't have any like top tier can't miss prospects.
No, but they have.
I mean, I guess Swanson is
they have oodles of them, though, so they could definitely, you know, do a 6 or 7 player prospect trade for a frontline starter.
Yeah.
Not that that's, you know, not that there's a lot of teams out there. I mean, the White Sox would have to go full bore rebuild if they're doing something like that. And if that's what they're doing, they should trade Robertson as well. They should consider, I don't think they'll trade a Brave, but they should, you know, they should pack it in and call it a day if they're going to do something like that.
Yeah. Robertson's not going to get traded for anything right now.
Well, they said, I read a report that they're listening in on everybody, including him.
I'm just saying, like, he's just giving up too many home runs right now. Oh, okay. I don't see anyone trading for him.
Yeah, he gave up, was it 3, the first pitcher?
3 home runs.
Since the 50s, to give up 3 home runs in one inning?
Yeah, anyway, just gross.
Yeah, not too good.
But we get to that later.
Okay. So let's move on. You mentioned poor management, and Robin Ventura may sooner or later be on the hot seat, but the hot seat was firmly implanted under Hale with Chip.
Hey, Chip, you want to manage our baseball team? Yeah, okay, guys, I'll manage your baseball team. Anyway, sorry, that's my impression of a person named Chip.
So as of last Friday, he was going to be gone by the weekend, and he's been, as of today, he was given the big green light support. We're sticking with him.
Yeah, I mean, this team is such a mess, the Diamondbacks. Like, it is so... They're head to toe, just, you know, they have some really nice players, but they just don't really know what they're doing. Got some bad luck with injuries. AJ Pollock, though, I hear he might be coming back. He's trying to make it back this year, but man, that bad luck and just bad valuation of players. They gave away Brad Ziegler to the Red Sox. Thank you very much, but they gave him away. Mm-hmm. And then there was all this media report about how Dave Stewart gave him away to his friend, or Tony La Russa gave him away to his friend, Dave Dombrowski. Like, it's just a mess over there, man. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, they're just having trouble valuing players properly.
And they've also let people know, according to Jeff Passan at Yahoo, that they, as of yesterday, that they're letting teams know that Shelby Miller is available. And they gave up the farm to get him.
Yes. Yes, they gave up the farm and a half to get him. And they're not going to get jack squat for him.
No, he's worthless right now. Because it's all in his head. That's the bigger issue, is that, you know, if it's a mechanics thing, somebody can look at it and say, yeah, we can tweak this, or, you know, send him to the Pirates and he'll be an ace. But this is a head thing with him. Yeah. This is a mental issue right now. That's a problem.
What's next?
So next up, we've got we had a little fun yesterday at the Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah. So every year this happens, and no one cares. And it's sort of like, oh, look, this is happening now. And they do the, you know, everyone knows who was voted in. And so it's no surprise. And it's the two people or three people get up, or no people, I guess once there was no people, and get up and get inducted into the Hall of Fame. This year it was Mike Piazza and Ken Griffey Jr. Both. It's the highest drafted player to ever make it to the Hall of Fame and the lowest drafted player to make the Hall of Fame.
Overall first pick. And a 62nd round pick.
62nd round pick.
As a favor to
He's Lasorda's godson.
Right.
And he goes in wearing a Mets hat? Oh, I'm sorry, jerk. The Dodgers turned this terrible third baseman into a passable catcher, turned him into a superhero. And why? Just because they made a bad trade? Because his agent said they weren't going to sign with him at the end of the year, so they traded him away for Gary Sheffield, Jim Eisenreich, and some other piles of garbage. I don't even remember what it was. Such a bad trade to the Marlins. Remember that? For like a month
for a
or
week.
Whatever?
No, it was 1 week. 5 days.
Charles Johnson. I believe it was Charles Johnson.
Yes, five whopping days, and I saw him play one game in a Marlins uniform.
And then over to the Mets. And then, you know, he had his nice run there. But did you see his plaque? It was like, it's the most boring list of accolades anyone's ever had for the Hall of Fame. He's a great player. Don't get me wrong. He's a Hall of Famer. One of the greatest hitting catchers in the history of the league. Maybe the greatest, adjusted for averages and stuff. But come on. Come on. It was like, he led the league in putouts. What? Who cares? Give me them home runs. Give me that batting average.
Yeah, he was all about power.
Give me that slugging.
That's what his value was, right?
Anyway, and then there's Ken Griffey Jr., who started off his career looking like he would be one of the greatest players of all time. Wound up a Hall of Famer, but certainly the last 5 to 8 years of his career were disappointing.
So he missed 400-plus games as a result of his injuries over his 22-year career.
Yeah, and another 400 games he should have missed because the team would have been better off. Not that great.
But you're not challenging his Hall of Fame credentials.
No, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, his peak, you know, we're all talking about like part of Hall of Fame is like Koufax doesn't have the longevity, right?
Right. He quit when he was on top.
But he quit because he was injured.
Hurt, right.
And, you know, now players tend to play through, some of the guys play through that, whatever. But at his peak, one of the greatest players in the history of the game, Ken Griffey Jr. And Sandy Koufax, of course, but
yes,
we're not talking about him.
But did you see the induction speeches?
No, please. I like literally anything else to do like at all. It would be more interesting to me than listening to those speeches.
Well, I watched them and I take
Jesus Christ, John.
DVR'd it. I DVR'd it and watched.
John, you have a problem, man.
Fast forward through the commercials, so I don't have to watch that stuff. No, I watched this.
You fast forward through the speeches?
I fast forwarded to the introductions of the 48 Hall of Famers that were there because I could really care less about hearing about who was there and their credentials.
Who's still alive? Right. It's like a roll call.
Well, they carried out Whitey Ford. Joe Torre carried Whitey Ford out. Yeah.
Come on. Why are you watching this, John?
Well, primarily to see Griffey's speech. Like in Seattle, he's kind of, it was mandatory.
Yeah, even though he demanded a trade out of Seattle?
He saved baseball in Seattle, though.
No, that run with him and Randy Johnson at the Kingdom, incredible.
Yeah, that was a great, great series against your beloved Yankees.
Yes. And I will always appreciate the Mariners. As a matter of fact, when the new stadium opened, I flew up there with a friend of mine to see a game opening season.
And it is one of, and I've been to 20 plus ballparks, current ballparks, and this is one of my favorites. It's just a great, and a lot of it has to do with the fans. Not so much that they're knowledgeable fans, but they're very polite fans.
Yeah,
it's a very different environment watching a game in Seattle versus, say, New York or Philadelphia, or even in Florida.
Well, you mean they show up in Seattle. So that would be the difference between
them. They do come, and they're not nearly as aggressive.
I see.
They're very polite cheer. They cheer politely. There's not a lot of fights in the crowd. There's not a lot of cursing. Well,
that's because pot's legal there, man.
Everyone's pretty mellow at the games.
Yes.
Okay, so...
What else are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about Johnny Cueto's major disappointment that he was not invited to the White House.
Right, so this is like... And I wonder if this is just this generation or this this day and age with media and social media and all that. But there were quite a few players not invited to the White House with the Royals, because I guess they can only have so many people come and not like everyone that was on the team. Who's the one that was on the team for like 2 weeks and made a big stink about not being invited?
Not sure.
He used to be on the Red Sox. He's a tattoo guy.
Johnny Gomes.
Yeah, Johnny Gomes. So he was all bent out of shape and called it the worst offense of his career that he wasn't invited. Which, man, if that's the worst offense in your career, you've had a great career. P.S. Johnny Gomes, I've seen some of the years you've put up. That's the
worst
most offensive
offense of
I've
his
ever
career
seen.
Was going over to Japan and sucking bad and basically throwing in the towel.
Yeah. So he knows not from whence he speaks. I think that's a coherent sentence. But Johnny Cueto, actually, the Royals don't win the World Series without Johnny Cueto. I know he stank when they traded for him.
But he won two games
in the World Series in the playoffs that were must win, and he absolutely dominated and put them into the next round and then won the World Series because of him. You got to invite him. Hell, I would have invited him if I was going to the White House because I'd won the World Series. I don't know.
At the end of the day, this is one of those blip stories that it's like it's the perfunctory visit to the White House. It's important to those who go.
Can we be clear, though, John? Next year, no one's going to want to go to the White House. Okay? Next year, when you come in last place, they send you to the White House.
The White House as penance for sucking.
You get the first pick in the draft, but you have to go to the White House and talk to the current president of the United States.
I can tell you right now that I will guarantee you if Trump wins, there will be no phone calls to any of the sports teams that win. There'll be none of the Rose Garden photo ops for any of the winning teams. He's going to be like, I don't have time for that. It's a waste of time.
Well, he's just going to have someone else do it. Someone else.
Right.
One of
John
his great assistants.
He'll have John Kasich come in and do it. Right. I couldn't believe that the word last week that they wanted Kasich to be the VP, and Trump's kid calls up Kasich and said, "Well, we'll pretty much have you kind of run everything. You'll be in the White House doing all the White House president stuff, and my dad will be kind of in the back seat."
Right, like, making America great.
Making America great.
Yeah, that was the quote: is that Kasich would run the country doing foreign and domestic affairs.
Right, which is pretty big part of the job.
It's basically the job. And then Trump would basically be like filming his next TV show or whatever.
Yeah, he'll turn the White House into a TV show.
I just can't believe how nightmarish both of these candidates are. Anyway, let's move on. I'm just going to get angry. Johnny Cueto got screwed. Who cares?
Well, let's flip it into a positive then, especially for the Red Sox and
yes.
Red Sox fans. Rick Porcello.
Yes, Porcello. This is exactly why I put this on the list. This completely meaningless, random, mathematical anomaly makes me happy.
It's a big deal, though. When you think about Fenway being Fenway, being 10-0 at Fenway is a big deal.
I think it speaks more to the fact that Boston never, in 55 years, hasn't really had that many great pitchers. But Rick Porcello's first Boston pitcher in 55 years to open a season 10-0 at Fenway Park. I mean, I hate the win-loss thing for pitchers. I just think it's interesting that he's pitching so well at home. I always find that interesting when, like, because Fenway Park is a hitter's park. Pitchers should not do well there.
And that's why I think it's a significant stat.
And it's interesting to see him just pitching really well at home. I'm always fascinated by that. Pitchers who pitch really well on the road. I mean, a lot of that's sort of like random variance, but then maybe, he pitches well on the road because his wife's at home and he hates his wife. Or maybe Rick Porcello loves his wife so much and he loves being at home. Didn't Clemens have some deal where he only pitched at home or
towards the end of his career? Yeah.
Well, some of that Houston stuff was pretty, pretty flexible. Anyway, no real story here. Just wanted to talk about something that made me happy. What else?
Okay, so this thing kind of percolated too about the whole Twitter going to be live streaming MLB games for free. And at first I read something about it that said it was going to be one game a week. And now it's sounding like it could happen this season and it's going to be all games. I haven't heard any specifics and there haven't been any more specifics other than that this was announced.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably going to still have some sort of blackout thing because that blackout stuff that they
it's
do
outside
is
of the home market.
Yeah.
Outside of the home market.
Yeah. I mean, you know, first of all, Twitter is a dying medium and they need to do whatever they can to stay relevant. And I appreciate that. But MLB has done such a good job with their advanced media department, actually really a pace setting with their apps and their, you know, presentation. But little things like you can't show clips of games on Twitter and stuff like that, like, that's weird. The NBA lets you share clips because the NBA is like, yeah, young people are on Twitter.
Right. This is where they're going to see it. Let's get it out into the stream that people, you know, consume.
Yeah, these people want to promote our product for free. Okay, let's let them do that.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's interesting. We'll see. Be curious to see how it goes. I mean, I can't wait to see people, you know, what always people find a way to ruin stuff that goes on Twitter, whether it's turning it into a meme or, you know, whatever various things. But
when they say live stream, though, this is video content,
yeah,
correct? So you're going to be able to watch it, you know, from first pitch to last out.
Theoretically, yes.
Interesting, because that's not what Twitter's all about. But that's like you said, trying to be relevant. And it's all about content, and they want to be a content provider now.
Well, they've been expanding for, you know, ever since they opened, of course, but their rate of expansion has tailed off massively at Twitter. And I remember talking to like a really high up tech guy maybe 3 years ago, and he was just like, it's 3 to 5 years and then it's gone. So enjoy it while you can, because it's just too difficult to monetize.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to do all these ads, and people just get annoyed by the ads. And what they do, they give you more ads. And so maybe they're going to try to modify the site a little bit so that it's a little bit more, you know, like Facebook evolved in a way that kept it going and they could monetize. Mm-hmm. But Twitter is tough, man. That 140 character limit is a tough one. Anyway, I'm tired of talking about this. Let's go on.
Yeah, it's no Pokemon Go, right?
Pokemon Go, man. I'll tell you what, I live in a fairly, it's a commercial neighborhood, right? Like there's stores and restaurants all near, you know, on my street and whatever. And to see these people wandering around, staring at their phones, standing on corners.
Getting hit by cars.
It's just fantastic. I love seeing people out and about staring at their phones and oblivious to the world.
Running into things.
And, running into each other.
But it's the savvy retailers, though, are putting signs out on billboards out in front of their store saying rare Pokemon inside.
It's very smart.
Yeah.
It's very smart.
I really don't know anything about it other than it became an overnight sensation a week and a half ago. But I'm not into Pokemon or Pokemon Go, nor have I even seen what it really is. Other than I was watching Stephen Colbert one night, he was talking about it and then they cut away and there was a Pokemon behind the guest. So I was like, I guess that's what it is. So, maybe Twitter can integrate Pokemon Go to help boost Twitter's longevity. Who knows?
That would do it, at least for the next 6 months until people completely forget about Pokemon
Go. Something, the new shiny metal object.
Yeah. Welcome to Earth.
Right. Okay, so now we're moving on to our relatively new segment, or I guess it's the second version of it, I almost said the whole thing. What the WTF.
Yeah. No F words, John. So just what the WTF. So WTF. This week's episode of WTF, or WTWTF, as we're going to call it from now on, because I think that sounds awesome, too many home runs in baseball. We mentioned it earlier with Dave Robertson giving up 3 home runs in the 9th inning, and some people think they figured out what it is. It is a juiced baseball accidentally. And what happened was the people who make the baseballs change their location, and within 2 weeks of them changing their location, home runs started increasing around the league. So maybe just sort of an environmental effect from the new location of where they make the balls, but home runs are being hit at such a, it's incredible. Remember in fantasy baseball, sorry for all you fantasy people who don't like fantasy baseball. It's an important part of enjoying the baseball process. But anyway, home runs and stolen bases used to be pretty even, maybe a little bit more home runs than stolen bases. But now, because home runs are becoming so common, or more frequent, I should say, that now they're, people are running, stealing bases less because you don't want to get caught stealing and then have the guy behind you hit a home run that could have been a two-run home run. So you have it sort of going the other direction, where home runs are becoming more common and stolen bases are becoming less common. And for those of you playing fantasy baseball, that's why it's important to invest in players that provide both home runs and stolen bases. Moving forward from this into what we're actually talking about, it's just too many damn home runs, John.
So juiced baseballs are not good for the sport.
I don't think it's good for the sport now. I think that it was good for the sport back with Sammy Sosa and Maguire, where they were roiding up and the balls were juiced at the same time.
And they saved baseball.
And they saved baseball. But I don't think baseball needed to be saved. I think people liked the amount of good pitching that was out there. And I don't think that more home runs now makes it a better game. I think the erraticness of games, I think, is bad for baseball.
The whole chicks dig the long ball. And it, some fans will say that, you know, and you and I definitely agree on this, that baseball is a heck of a lot more exciting than a 1-0 soccer game or a 0-0 or a 0-0 soccer game.
Right. Or love.
And to me, the pitchers' duels are great games, but a lot of fans like high-scoring sporting events. So the whole idea of having a 1-0 hockey game or a 1-0 soccer game or a 1-0 baseball game, dread that, is considered by some fans a negative. I love tightly contested ball games because there's a lot more strategy.
But I don't. I agree with you though. I think there are more people that think that way. But maybe they're, you know, maybe
hardcore
younger people.
Fans. Hardcore fans, the maybe, casual to moderate fan, they want to be entertained.
Yeah, I don't know the numbers on that, but I look at it and I just see like night after night, like really good pitchers getting like hit really hard, and no one is immune to it. I mean, Kershaw was mostly immune to it, which makes his performance even that much more amazing. Like I saw he's been out now for a month, and he's still a full win above replacement better than the next pitcher in the league. A full win, even though he's been out a month. It's incredible. But people are, I don't like seeing really good pitchers giving up 6 runs, you know, closers coming in, you know, Kenley Jansen comes in for the Dodgers, 2-run home run from like nobody's. That's the problem, is it's not just like, oh, Mark Trumbo's hitting all these home runs.
Yeah, I guess the question though with that though is if we were to look at prior to this 2-week event or the location change event, were those same pitchers that are giving up now long home runs having balls that were caught deep in the outfield prior to that? Was there any, because the psychology there or the physics that are involved with the ball, that makes sense. But still, if someone's hitting a ball 400 feet, they're getting it up in the air. They're elevating that. So yeah. Were the balls before that, you know, being just long fly balls? That's the question.
Well, I also think that, you know, they have all this StatCast technology now, mm-hmm. right? Where mm-hmm. you can, you know, people are seeing like, well, this is how fast the ball is coming off. And they're actually figuring out that, well, if I change my swing angle, mm-hmm. you know, 5 degrees,
that's crazy. That's,
I'm more happening. Likely to hit a home run. So that's going to factor in too. But to me, it's just too many home runs. That's all. It's just too many home runs.
So they either have to change the balls or start moving fences back.
Here's the thing. I'm not saying it's too many runs. I want to be very clear about that.
Okay.
I just think it's too many home runs.
I think home runs are fun.
I like pitching better than I like hitting. What can I say? Except for triples and inside the park
triples
home runs.
Triples are great.
Triples are the best thing in the world. They're better than donuts and sex together. Well, maybe not. I don't know. Sex with donuts? I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's move on. What do we got? What's next?
Time to go to, we'll get back to politics with the starting nine. Last week we did Republican-sounding names. This week we're going to do Democrat-sounding names.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Wait, that was my idea.
That was your idea.
Okay, yeah. But I think it was implied last week when we did Republicans, we're going to do Democrats, right? So starting nine, some of these are going to be simple, John. We want to keep it simple. Let's start with Chris Carter of the Brewers, Jimmy Carter. Right?
Logical.
Yeah. Logical, right? Matt Cain for the... we used him last week, though, didn't we?
I think we did, yeah.
For McCain, right? Yeah, I was like, oh, McCain. Yeah, but Tim Kaine is the vice president. So you have Tim Kaine and the Pence guy, who is for Trumpence. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Trumpence. Okay, good. So we got Kaine. Then I got... Nick Markakis, Michael Dukakis.
Okay, we got the kiss in there. Kakis.
Wait, that sounds gross.
Kakis.
Let's say Kakis because Kakis sounds like something else.
This is clean.
Yes, exactly. This is for all ages.
PG-13 is the worst this will ever get.
Yeah, there's... Okay, so for Bill Clinton, I got Clint Robinson, and it's like Clint Robbins... Clint Robinson. Right. Mm-hmm. And then it's got Robbins right in there, which is just like the Clintons, robbing America of its values. I don't know.
Okay.
Ian Kennedy for John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. But for Ted Kennedy, I'm going to go with Matt Bush because Matt Bush has a DUI. Oh, wait a minute. Does he have a DUI with a manslaughter?
I don't know. Did he drive a car off a bridge?
Because I think Matt Bush has a manslaughter, doesn't
he? Really?
I apologize. I'm speculating. Humor. Blah blah blah. But how perfect is that pick if it's Ted Kennedy? Because he killed a woman in on Martha's Vineyard.
Right.
Or she died in an accident when he was involved. Blah 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 blah. Blah,
right. He walked away and all that stuff.
All right, just a couple more here. So I have for Melvin Upton, I have. LBJ, because Melvin used to be BJ Upton.
Okay.
That works. Mm-hmm. Right. So Franklin Delano Roosevelt, I have Fernando Rodney, FDR, right? Okay. Fernando Rodney, FDR, right? Mm-hmm. Sort of. All right. Or just Nick Franklin, I guess, right? Or
Franklin Gutierrez.
Whatever. Okay, fine.
Okay. There's many Franklins.
I like mine better. And then, those are Republicans. Hold on. I got a list here. Wait, is this the last one? Yeah. So I got Rough Ned Odor for Barbara Boxer.
It took a second.
But right?
Yeah, that's good. That's
Come
good.
On. Right?
I just totally was thinking so. Yeah, that's good. That's the best one.
That's good. All right, let's move
like
on.
That one. Yeah, that was good. So that's our. So now we have our Democrats. We have. Are we going to do a Libertarian one next week?
We are not, John.
Okay. I don't think we could name two Libertarians. I know I couldn't.
It would be difficult. Also, I don't think anyone cares.
I'm pretty sure that our listener is done with the political name dropping.
Or maybe he/she isn't. So let's move on anyway.
Okay. Three up, three down.
Yes. First up, Trevor Story. Started off the season amazing. Kind of flattened out a bit. But, you know, when you're playing in Coors Field, you always have a chance to have a great week. Trevor Story, best hitter in baseball the last week.
27 home runs, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's legit. He's going to strike out a ton for his entire career. But I think he's got enough power, enough contact to keep it going and be a very adequate replacement there at shortstop. Though I think they have a hot shortstop coming up, right? Mm-hmm. Not Swanson. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they have a shortstop coming, so maybe they move Story over to third or the other guy over to second. Why don't I know this other guy's name? This is my thing. Anyway, wow. All right, moving on.
Well, next up, they're bringing up David Dahl, too, so there's going to be some potential trade there with one of the outfielders, correct?
Well, Parr is injured, but I think they got to trade Blackman I don't think they necessarily have to because the outfield trade market is pretty saturated this year. We'll see.
Yeah, especially if they're bringing up some of these young. Well, pitching's always the issue there. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, I hijacked your three up.
All right. Well, let's go on then.
Who's your other uppers?
Okay, so we got Joey Votto, who's not been that great this year, but who just the last week or so, 700 on base percentage.
That's a good week.
That is a good, good time. Next up is we got a pitcher here, Kyle Hendricks for the Cubs. Underrated Cubs starting pitcher, kind of their second best pitcher at this point, with Lester having some trouble, John Lester. Really great numbers, it's impressive. It's not overpowering stuff, but it's like that Maddox stuff where it's like it always just finds a spot. It always just finds a spot. Good on him.
Location pitcher.
Yeah. But also getting a lot of strikeouts this year, so who knows? Not giving up a lot of home runs like almost every other pitcher in the league.
Which brings us to the downers.
The downers. All right, so Colby Rasmus, again, started the year off great, but he has tailed off and then some. And it's been a rough couple weeks for this dude. He's one of my favorite players in the league, you know, not on my favorite teams, but just rough. A lot of outs making a lot of outs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next is Jason Hayward. The big acquisition from, you know, the offseason for the Cubs is not working out.
No. He's been a major disappointment for the money that they, especially the money they paid for him being a war guy, not living up to, as opposed to a stats guy.
Yeah.
An all-around player. He got a big, big contract, which a lot of people kind of hemmed and hawed about. It's like, how can you give somebody that doesn't have the sexy numbers that much money? And look what's happened.
Yeah, I mean, too much of his value, I think, was put on his defense. And I don't think you should overpay for defense in this league. But I think it was just one of those things where I think the Cubs wanted to get, you know, a big free agent to help push them up to the next level because they were so good last year. I just don't think he was the right move. And, you know, whatever, hindsight 2020, he's just not worked out. And they had him batting number two for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And just push him down to the bottom of the lineup, bring up someone else and let him work it out or not. And then if he's having trouble, but this is how he started for the Cardinals last year. And it was like, whoa, this guy is not good. And then he finally came around and had a really nice year offensively and defensively. And this year he just hasn't really gotten going. He's got four or five home runs. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of time to, you know, turn things around. Not that he has to do a whole heck of a lot given what he's surrounded by, but at the end of the day, if the Cubs wind up making it to the World Series and actually winning, people will not be overly concerned if he had an off first year.
Well, it's like that J.D. Drew contract with the Red Sox, right? Like, everyone hated that thing until he hit a grand slam home run off the
right.
Indians.
It's going to take one significant at-bat, right?
Yeah, I mean, he could be the MVP of the World Series. You never know. Mm-hmm. He's got – every player has that in him. Who is that guy on the Cardinals that got MVP? The little scrappy guy, shortstop, Scrappy McScrapperson.
I can't remember
his name. Why can't I remember this guy's name? Everyone makes fun of him for being scrappy. Anyway, you guys listening, you know what I'm talking about. Shortstop for the Cardinals. They won the World Series a few years back, and he was the MVP. Anyway, not a very good player, but really scrappy. So if he can win it, if player that Jed can't remember his name of can win the World Series MVP, then Jason Hayward can. And no one will forget they wasted all this money on this guy. But I'll tell you something right now. A lot of these free agents from this last offseason have not worked out.
Yeah, it hasn't been.
It's been pretty ugly.
Yeah. Let's see.
One more down. We got Tim Lincecum, who, as I have been telling everyone all along, is about.
David Eckstein! Just popped into my head.
Scrappy McScrapperson. David Eckstein. All right, so Tim Lincecum is terrible at pitching. That's why the team that used to have him didn't want to sign him. The Angels did out of desperation. And
that's why it took him so long to have his showcase.
Exactly.
He still doesn't have it.
Yeah. And he is not a very good player and basically tricked the Angels into signing him, not a actually difficult thing to do, by the way. I almost got them to sign me last weekend when I was down there at one of the games, and I was just buying hot dogs.
They're like, that guy looks good.
They're like, out here. You know what? Let's give him a deal through the end of the year. It can't be any worse than what we got.
Can you pitch, kid?
All right, good. That's all we got. That's the down.
So now we're moving in. Wow, we're like blazing.
You and I talked about this. We want to blaze through this, man.
We want to blaze through it. This is a good one. So we're into extra innings.
Yeah.
So now we're going to take a look at what's going on outside the world of baseball. And we only have a few items here. One of them's political. I think.
It's all political, John. Life is politics. Yeah.
Peyton Manning, unlike Tom Brady, is cleared of all charges following an NFL investigation.
Right. So I just want to get this straight. So science has disproven that Deflategate actually happened, that balls were actually deflated. Science has disproven that. But Peyton Manning got HGH delivered to his home, and he's been cleared of all wrongdoing.
It was for the dog, wasn't it?
Okay. I just want to make sure I understand that it just so happened that his wife needed HGH while he was recovering from a neck surgery, which would benefit greatly from HGH. I just want to make sure I understand this investigation clearly, which the investigation, by the way, did we even know it was underway? No.
No.
Were there any leaks of any information whatsoever? No. Why? Because the NFL is full of garbage people. And what are they going to do? Peyton Manning, they can't go after Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Plus, they can't suspend Peyton Manning. He's already retired. Right. So let's just sweep this one under the rug, and we'll make an announcement we'll make an announcement during the DNC. That's what we'll do. No one will pay attention. You know what? No one did. Because that's what you do. When you don't want people to pay attention, you don't leak information that's false all the time. Information that the NFL leaked about Deflategate, consistently proven to be false information. Not one leak about Peyton Manning other than the actual documentary that leaked the information. He denied it. He had people, I don't want to say roughed up, but he had people go, were roughly investigated. Is that a word? I don't know. Spoken too harshly on his behalf. And so this guy does this and then gets HGH to his house. Tom Brady sent a text saying he didn't like the balls being overinflated. Now he's guilty of underinflating balls. Come on. You know what this sounds like to me, John?
The legal system.
Another example of a failing of the American legal system. What's next?
What's next? Speaking of the failure of the American political system, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, what a whirlwind 48 hours, or not even 48 hours, 24 hours for her. Well, actually, 48 hours.
Yeah.
You know, she basically resigned and said she would be out of the hair of the DNC by the end of the week. But based on what happened this morning in the Florida delegation meeting prior to the start of the convention, she was booed and roughed up and yelled at and had to get an escort out and basically said, wow, if that's just happening within the Florida delegate room, imagine what's going to happen out on the floor if I go out there. So
right.
She threw in the towel and said, I'm not going out there. I'm done.
Yeah, and fortunately for her, it was a very soft landing. She was immediately offered a job by Hillary Clinton, which that doesn't seem weird at all, that the person who she is being accused of having favored during the primaries. Does this sound shady at all? Look, okay, so they didn't want Bernie Sanders to be the candidate, and everyone in every Democrat wants Hillary Clinton to do it for the women, because Lord knows women need a role model like her in office in order to feel like they can accomplish anything, because this is about the children, John. This is about little Sally Joe, who one day wants to achieve, she would achieve it anyway, even if she, okay, great. All right, my point is, Debbie Wasserman Schultz was busted by the WikiLeaks exposure of all the DNC emails. And she's acting like, yeah, it's no big deal. And the people from her own state boo her off the stage. They decide, you know what? Yeah, we're not going to have her speak in front of thousands of people. That might not go great. And then she gets a job with Hillary Clinton. Like, I can't even believe how scandalous this is and how terrible this looks. But because it's not Donald Trump, and because it's not the media going after the Republicans, which if the Republicans did this, the media would lose its mind. They already lose their minds. But
I think they did lose their mind over this a little bit.
A little bit, though. Like, not enough. This is a huge deal. But again, if there's one thing the Clintons can do is dodge bullets. And I don't know how, but like somehow Hillary Clinton, even though this is a friend of hers, even though she offered her a job immediately after resigning, somehow Hillary Clinton still misses getting caught in this. Like,
but I think that was the initial response was that she was being hired. She is already a part of her 50-state campaign and a surrogate for her campaign nationally and in Florida, and she's going to continue on in that capacity.
Yeah.
So people, I think, turn that into a bigger deal than it. Well, the bigger thing, you know, that was in the news cycle all day today was the fact that the Russians were the ones who did the hack, and they're doing it with the Putin Trump in cahoots with each other because they wanted to undermine the DNC opening night. So that was all the buzz on the liberal media throughout the day.
Yeah.
Quite interesting.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm all for it. I'm all for both of these sides being exposed for being frauds, though I don't like working with Putin because, man, that just sounds like trouble.
Yeah, that's not going to be.
I just feel like that's not a guy we want to be like owing favors to or.
But he's definitely excited about Trump's, wanting to tear apart NATO and trade agreement stuff. And he's like, oh, this guy's just who I would like. And the downfall of Brexit and the eventual downfall of the EU creates a much more favorable environment for Putin to kind of invade, territories that border Russia. So it's going to be an interesting next 6 months to see what happens in the election cycle and all the.
It's a garbage fire, John.
It is.
Get your marshmallows on a stick and let's roast them.
Okay, let's move on to something even more important.
Yes.
Iggy Azalea, and I have no idea who French Montana is, were spotted leaving a Vegas club together.
Yeah, look, whatever. Two celebrities, I don't care. I just wanted to hear you read that sentence.
Who is French Montana? I have no idea.
I have no idea. I'm assuming it's her boyfriend or something.
Okay, so French is a name now?
Maybe.
Not Frenchie. Yeah. But
wasn't
French,
there like a French Stewart? French Stewart,
an actor, right? Yeah.
French Stewart, right? Yeah.
Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's not doing a lot of work these days. I don't think French Stewart is the same as French Montana.
Maybe. Yeah, did he change his last name?
Well, he may have gone to Montana for all we know.
He may have. Okay. So you got me to read that.
Hey, you know what, John? Do me a favor. Put French Stewart in our write up of what's in this episode. Give French Stewart a little treat. People are still talking about him.
We'll mention that we went from French Montana to French Stewart because how could you not?
His Google alert's going to light up. It's gonna be like, and it's going to make his day that we're talking about him.
Okay. And we have to end the show, as we often do, with a Kardashian report.
Yes.
So what is Rob Kardashian up to this week?
What's happening with the worst people on the planet, John? Worse than the politicians that we're talking about? The Kardashians. What's happening? Rob Kardashian has deleted all signs of Black China on Instagram. Nobody knows what's up. It's just this weird thing. Maybe they broke up. Maybe they didn't. She's pregnant with his kid. She also is the baby mama for the guy who knocked up Kylie Jenner. It's the craziest family on earth. You couldn't write this stuff in English and have anyone believe that this could actually happen. And yet here it goes. So apparently,
it's all scripted, right? It's all scripted.
Of course, it's all like by design, and you know,
like you sleep with her, and then you come back, and right. So all that,
and it's clicks, and it's views, and it's, you know, this is a family. I saw the most hilarious thing online the other day. Kim Kardashian wrote a tweet about how well her app has done, her Kardashian app, which encourages young people to be garbage people. And teaches them all the ways to be, you know, you can be at home and you can be a piece of garbage also. And, you know, you can be just as garbagey as all of us garbage people. And so that app has done really well, which I assume she did not design or illustrate or program or anything, but just said, yes, you can use my name, and that sounds fine. And she has made tens of millions of dollars off that, and does a hashtag not bad for a girl with no talent, not knowing that, yes, exactly, you made a lot of money regardless of not having any talent.
You, sex tape. That's
you being
all,
famous
right?
is not a talent.
Yeah.
You
I
were
still
a
don't.
Porn
I don't
star.
Know enough about them to know even how they rose to prominence. It just
It's the tape. Like, that's all it is. It's that sex tape was the beginning.
But wasn't the father somebody important in Hollywood?
I mean, he's an entertainment. He was a
lawyer,
criminal lawyer for celebrities, okay. Right? And then his ex-wife or his then Kris Kardashian divorces him and marries Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn or Caitlyn? Yeah, Caitlyn. Yeah. And
Caitlyn for now.
And you know, now, so it's just this thing. And then it's just like, apparently the sex tape, releasing the sex tape was the mom's idea. And it's been just this like media thing of just like, just manipulating the media, constantly manipulating it, and all about sex and who they're dating and dating up and then cashing out and dating up and cashing out. It's just really the worst people on the planet. And it's a shame that anyone on the planet would look up to them and not, and maybe even think that that was even remotely a nice way to live your life. And that's all I have to say. They're garbage.
But they're doing something right if we're talking about them every week, right? From a marketing point
Well,
of
from
view?
A marketing perspective, they absolutely are. The problem is that
they're marketing trash. Right. We don't want any of that. So
yeah.
That's probably a good point for us to say good night.
Well, that's why we're going to talk about it every week here on the show. Bye, John.
Good night.